I'm Jim Santos, and this is Bigger, Better World from International Living. In this podcast series, we introduce you to a bigger world full of communities that are safe, welcoming, beautiful, and largely undiscovered. A better world, a friendly, warm, great value world where you can live richer, travel more, invest for profit, and enjoy a better life. So let's get started. Hello once again, and welcome to Bigger, Better World. Today we're off to Central America to take a look at Mexico, which came in a close second in the International Living 2023 Global Retirement Index. One of the reasons it scored so highly is because it is quite a large country with a wide range of climates and lifestyles. In fact, it's the 12th or 13th largest country in the world. In today's podcast, we'll see just how different even two beach towns can be as we take closer looks at Puerto Vallarta on the Pacific coast and Playa del Carmen, over 1,500 miles to the east on the Caribbean shores of the Riviera Maya. We have two guests with us today, Mark and Kirsten Racuya. We'll be discussing Kirsten's article in the Exploration section of the November 2022 edition of International Living magazine, Beach Town Battles, Puerto Vallarta versus Playa del Carmen. In addition to her articles appearing in International Living about her and Mark's lives overseas since 2014, you can find her blog and more at sandinmycurls.com. Mark, Kirsten, thanks for joining us today on Bigger, Better World.
Hi, how are you?
All right, we're doing good here. How are things in Mexico?
Beautiful. Yeah. Couldn't be better. 80 degrees, not a cloud in the sky, low humidity. It's perfect.
Not much to complain about.
That does sound great. Now, I want to get to your article here in just a few minutes, Kirsten. It's in the November 22 issue of International Living magazine. It's called Beach Town Battles, Puerto Vallarta and Playa del Carmen. But before we do that, since it's your first time on the show, I was wondering if you guys could give us a little bit of background. Because, Kirsten, I noticed from your articles and your website, it's pretty obvious you and Mark are not exactly retirement age.
So, if only.
Yeah. No. So I'd be interested how you got started on this traveling. On your website, you said you've traveled to 43 countries and lived in five. So I'd like to get some background on you and how you got started on this and how you support an international lifestyle like this.
Well, as far as I can remember, traveling was a huge thing for me. And you know, it's part of my blood. My dad was a big adventurer, and I am exactly like him. And when I met Mark, right from the beginning, we both talked about moving to another country and living in another country. But at that point, I lived in Brazil for a bit, Cape Town, South Africa for a couple of years, and London for almost a year. So I loved that expat life. But I after living an expat life for a couple of years, I came back to the States and started just having what I considered a normal life, like the real serious life I was supposed to have, like, you right. know, get back to work and do your thing and like get your life together. That was kind of how I felt when I was in my 20s coming back to the States. And then when I met Mark and we started talking about living abroad, I was like, oh yeah, this is something that we can do again. Like I can do this in my real life again. And you want to take over from
yeah, that? And I guess at that point, we got married in 2003, and then about 2003, really I started reading International Living cover to cover every month, and started slowly believing that it could be possible. And as part of our vacationing, actually a second honeymoon, we went to Costa Rica, and for years we traveled all throughout Costa Rica. In fact, 10 years or almost 10 years. We went back every year and checked it out, and ultimately went in September of 2012 to an IL conference to learn more about how to become an expat efficiently, mm-hmm. and with the hopes of meeting people that were moving to Costa Rica. And during that time, we heard about Malaysia and decided that we had friends in Hong Kong, so we were going to go to visit them. So we check out Malaysia as well. Mm-hmm. And one thing led to another. And within a few weeks, we made our mind up to move to Malaysia. With respect to how we funded that, at the time, we both owned our own businesses and decided that we were going to sell our businesses and recreate ourselves.
Which I don't recommend that method.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely don't recommend that. Stay on as a consultant, no matter what you do.
Yeah, I think in hindsight, that probably wasn't the best way for us to do it. We didn't know what was possible. And certainly there was far less telecommuting and, you know,
it was 2013.
You know, 2013, right. It was a different era. So that being said, we both recreated ourselves. Kirsten started writing. We had a medical tourism for a few years, a business for a few years. Mm-hmm. Kirsten,
then, I also don't recommend.
Kirsten went full time into writing. I was working online and still now work online. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's kind of how we've been funding ourselves that way. Because definitely we're not retired and living in Malaysia and trying to work in Malaysia wasn't happening. So we had to figure out how to work online.
Yeah. And far fewer people, you know, 5 years ago were remote workers. Now, you know, several of my nephews are remote workers. My niece is a remote worker and all are, you know, doing quite well. So because of that, it's made things significantly easier to live this lifestyle.
Right. It wasn't until the pandemic that people became really aware of how easy it was to work online and how much more fulfilling it can be.
Yes, that's absolutely never a truer statement said than that.
Yeah. Yeah. At the time, having a home office was not just plugging your laptop in. You had to have a fax machine and a special fax line. And you know, there was a lot of equipment that went with that.
We've been really fortunate in Malaysia because the technology was good there. We had really great internet. And here in Mexico, Puerto Vallarta, the internet is really good. We both, you know, do a lot of work. I do video calls several times a day, and Kirsten is doing her work all the time. And we don't have any special internet package. Whatever the basic package is here that the homeowner that we rent from got is what we're using.
Yeah, I think it's surprising to a lot of North Americans when they travel abroad and find out that the internet access is just as good and sometimes even better than what they have at home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Our internet, and especially in Malaysia, we had fiber optics, and we didn't even know what that was in Chicago.
Really. Yeah, and for the price difference too. I mean, we had lightning fast speeds for the equivalent of $40 a month. Mm-hmm. Different world.
But I'd like to let my listeners know that if you're interested in Malaysia or especially Penang, Kirsten has been writing articles for International Living, as I mentioned, since about 2014. So you can find a lot of her articles online. And if you go and look at episode 8 of Bigger, Better World, we spoke with one of our writers who is currently living in Penang. But I wanted to talk to you mostly today about Mexico. Now, it's just fairly recently you decided to move to Mexico.
Yeah, we came here in January of last year and spent 6 months here. We started off thinking, oh, we're just going to, you know, stay for a month. And then that turned into 6 months. And then during that 6 month period, we decided to stay. Like, it was kind of a test out where we weren't sure what we were going to do, which is one of the reasons we were also going to Playa del Carmen and, you know, test it out, see what we thought. And during that time, we thought, you know, it's Puerto Vallarta is good for us. Let's stay. And here we are. We kind of haven't really left. You know, we went back to Malaysia to kind of close up our Malaysia home, but, you know, our life in Malaysia, but came back here to the same place. And here we are.
Yeah. And we, you know, we feel very lucky from what we learned, you know, from reading IL about how to adapt and assimilate fairly quickly. And we certainly have done our best to help a lot of people who came to Penang and even here, because simple things back home, like where to go to the hardware store, where to find like tools and basic stuff that seems so easy back home, you know, go to Home Depot, you can get everything. Not the case here, you know. So all of those little things, believe me, Puerto Vallarta is not a, you're not pioneering here. You're not, you know, there's Costco, there's Walmart, there is a Home Depot. It's a ways away, but you do have those conveniences. So, but it is still day to day getting along here has been far easier understanding for us, I guess, the second time around.
Mm-hmm. And you had both visited Mexico before. Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Plenty of times. Yeah. We always liked the country. I don't know that I ever even considered living here until Kirsten brought it to my radar and was like,
forced you.
Come on, why be in the United States in January when we can be in Puerto Vallarta? Mm-hmm.
And Mexico is a big country with a lot of different microclimates, but I take it you were pretty much set on beach life?
Yeah. We've always loved the beach. That's been something that we've wanted in our lives always. And you know, we could look at it in Penang, but we really couldn't go to get in the water. It's not really like a beachy vibe kind of place. Mm-hmm. And so that was something that was important for us when we were thinking about Mexico, like where to go. It had to be coastal.
Yeah.
With a website called sandinmycurls.com, I had a feeling that was probably true.
True story.
Now, in your article about the beach battle between these two towns, they're kind of similar. They're in terms of population, they're both between 300,000 and 400,000, but there's some very different towns. Like you mentioned, the colonial feel of Puerto Vallarta, probably because it's the oldest city there. Playa del Carmen was just founded like in 1937, something like that. But they think that people have been living on the Pacific coast there as early as 580 BC. And of course, it was very important during the Spanish colonial period. So what is it like there in the downtown colonial area?
I mean, it definitely feels like you're living in a small Mexican village, you know, cobblestone streets that are great for breaking your ankles. You know, tiny little stalls, tiny little like tortillerias and places that you can like just barely walk through fit through the door. You know, that's, you walk in and all of a sudden that's like where you get your key made, you know, from some guy on the side of the road. It feels very small town, even though it's a very big city, you know, or not a very big city, but a large city.
Yeah. And while there is, you know, areas where you really get that colonial feel, especially certain streets, you like look down it and, you know, the plants are growing off the balconies. It's absolutely beautiful. And then you go two blocks and there could be a magnificent brand new condominium that overlooks the ocean. So it's kind of a mix of old and new, which is great because they both have their benefits. You know, we really enjoy the energy that comes from the tourist constantly changing here, you know, because it's tough. You know, no one's ever in a bad mood really on vacation, right? So when more people come in and more vacationers means more people in a jolly mood and not, you know, complaining about the weather or their pains or their family. It's just a good, it's the energy
happy,
here
happy energy.
Right.
It looked like this town is more of it's a popular destination for Mexicans to come to vacation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you rarely hear you're hearing some French Canadian people here because it's a big snowbird area. But generally you hear Spanish and English and that's it. And that's very different in Playa del Carmen. It was like, you hear Spanish, but not nearly as much. You hear a lot of other languages, but you don't necessarily hear. Yeah. It doesn't feel as Mexican.
Right. And definitely seems like a more international destination there.
And now Playa del Carmen over on the Caribbean coast, as I say, was founded just in the 1900s, but it's also one of the fastest growing communities in Central America. Did you get that kind of vibe there? Does it seem like it's just more active, more vibrant than the Pacific coast?
I don't know if I felt like it was more vibrant, but I definitely felt like it was a very touristy international city that people were coming to spend their time and you know, lots of digital nomads. I definitely felt a very different vibe in that sense. Huh?
And it felt like Playa was really expanding up north. Like, you know, if you read 5 years ago about Playa del Carmen, I think the midline, fifth and like 30th, might have been the kind of northern boundary where a lot of construction was happening. And now it's gone past 78th and then even further. So the city is definitely expanding quite rapidly, and you can see it. Whereas I think PV, because there's some mountains and some natural hindrances to growth, were kind of packed all along the shore. There is development along the hills, but not nearly as much.
How about the beaches? The beaches themselves, are they very different?
They're really different. So Playa del Carmen has that dreamy, like aqua blue, bath-like water that is like literally what dreams are made of, right? Paradise.
And the sand too.
Yeah, it's white sand and just soft like powder. On the other hand, Puerto Vallarta, it's the Pacific, so it's dark, like sapphire blue. It's definitely not calm. It's good for surfing, not necessarily in Puerto Vallarta, but around Puerto Vallarta, there's lots of surfing. Puerto Vallarta has big waves, and it's, you know, kind of more of a crashing, thundering kind of vibe, you know, and tan sand, and it's not as, it doesn't have that that Caribbean feel to it in the sense of the beach itself. However, the sargasso seaweed there in Playa del Carmen is a hindrance, and it's a couple months out of the year. Sometimes it's longer, sometimes it's not. So the beaches sometimes smell and have, you know, because of the sargasso seaweed that's rotting on the shore. So there's some issues with that, which we don't get. We never have anything like that in Puerto Vallarta. Mm-hmm. So there's pluses and minuses to each beach, right?
Yeah, I think across the board, both beaches are beautiful, but for different reasons. Like last night, we went out to watch the sunset, and we're just sitting on the, on the concrete, looking at the sun go down, and at the same time watching whales off the shore, like 300-400 meters off the shore,
right?
Just with bare eyes, which is freaking amazing, you know. From two people from Chicago, you didn't get to see that too often, you know, or ever, I should say.
And we get sunsets here.
Yeah, and we
don't get the sunset in Playa del Carmen.
Right.
No one's up for the sunrise in Playa del Carmen either.
Right, including us.
Right, and I will say that after a year living here, the sunsets here are fantastic, and it never gets old. They're really just beautiful colors.
Both of these beach towns in Mexico, they get cruise ships coming by occasionally, correct?
Daily.
Yeah, here in PV, I think it's daily.
Here it's in PV, it's for sure daily. We get three to four cruise ships a day sometimes.
Hmm. And is that, you know, minorly annoying to you, or is it a big enough city that it's off in its own little section?
Where we live, people... depending on the cruise, because some cruises have a short window, so they don't venture all the way down to the romantic zone. Mm-hmm. The ones that have longer, short time do make it down here. But honestly, it never bothers us. In fact, if anything, it's just more people having a good time. And, you know, they're only here for a couple hours. We like the tourists. We don't have a problem with them. You know, we may be weird like that, but we.
Well, there's electricity. The more people are around, the more people on the beach, the more people at the restaurants, it just adds to the electricity of the city. And we like that buzz. Mm-hmm. That's something that we, you know, loved about Chicago and kind of missed that in Penang. So having it here has been fulfilling.
Yeah.
So are you renting there now?
Yes.
You mentioned something about the rental prices. It seemed like Vallarta is maybe a little bit less expensive than Playa del Carmen.
Yeah, well, especially when we were looking last year, I know now that there's been a huge uptick in the rental prices here. So I don't know if that is the same in Playa del Carmen right now.
Yeah, because it's been almost a year since we were there. But when we were there last year, we were acutely aware of rental prices because we had just really started to take a deep dive here in PV. And at that time, similarly priced properties we felt were about 25% more in Playa. And I would say now, from what we know, pricing has pushed up here too. A lot of people, a lot more North Americans are moving down here for sure.
So I'm sure it's probably the same in Playa del Carmen.
Now, Kirsten, you talked in the article about using Facebook Marketplace, finding a place to rent. I took a look myself, and it was kind of borderline confusing, trying to sort stuff out. Some of it was in Spanish, some of it wasn't. Do you have any special tips or tricks that you use when you're looking there?
Google Translate.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It is confusing. And, you know, I think when you're looking for rentals and it's not in English, I think that's that's something that you have to kind of keep in mind, that it might be more difficult when you're trying to rent or at least negotiate your rent if you're doing it yourself. Mm-hmm. So I would either personally check, like I would check into them and see how much I could understand, you know, with Google Translate. And, but if it's going to be complicated, I just would probably skip it, to be honest. I don't think it's going to be, I think you might find something less expensive, but you also might not be able to get what you need when it comes to fixing something or, you know, the details of how it's going to work with the landlord or payments and all that.
Yeah. And I think the standard by which landlords operate in the States and the standards by which some landlords operate here may be different. Meaning to say, you're renting a place and the oven goes bad in the States, you call the landlord and your landlord will fix it. That may or may not happen here. And, you know, so to go into a negotiation and to just make the assumption that things are the same could prove sticky,
right?
Especially if you're going to a more local area, because that they rent out here, it's kind of like you walk through and if it looks good and it's working on day one and on day 365, it should be working too. And don't call me on day 180 if it's not.
Be wary, buyer beware.
Mm-hmm. How about some of the sites like Flipkey or Airbnb?
I've never looked Flipkey here, have you?
No.
Airbnb is massive here.
Yeah, Airbnb is huge. And if you're coming for, you know, a few weeks or whatever, that's certainly a great way because there's protections in there. And, you know, most Airbnb hosts do a really good job. You know, they try to, and they try to be accommodating. And because they're in the short-term property business, those issues like we discussed, you know, aren't normally a big deal.
Now, I know if you're doing short-term rentals, the prices are going to depend on the time of the year that you're trying to get in. But in each of these cities, what could you expect to be paying for, you know, a decent-sized two-bedroom apartment if you were going to go full-time and, you know, rent it for a year at a time?
Well, I was going to say just that starting from this last few months, people have been talking how, and I spoke about this earlier, how much the rentals have gone up. So I would say the biggest thing to do is try to look for rentals in the low season, because that's when people are where landlords are going, oh, wait a minute, you know, I forgot about low season. So I need to have somebody full time. So I would say check it during low season.
Yeah, there could be, if you came in here this time of year and said, I need a place for a year. There's a huge disparity. Like right now, a modest two bedroom, not a super fancy one, depending on proximity to the water, but let's use something that's walkable within 10 minutes to the water. You're probably looking at $1,000 if it's a modest place, the two bed, on the low end, probably more likely 15 to 2000 for more and more amenities. If you're going to go into a fancy building, you could be paying 3000. But if you're going into a local small, you know, two bedroom, 800 square feet, you can get it down. We have friends that rent out two bedroom apartments that are 500 square feet in a very local area for significantly less. But it's not a 10 minute walk to the beach.
Are there areas that you should avoid looking for homes in either of these cities or both these cities?
I don't think that there's anything I would say any areas to avoid. There's not like a dangerous area or.
It's really just proximity to things.
Yeah.
Like with Playa del Carmen, when you get over the highway, you get to be like too far to walk to stuff. And
we'll walk to the beach anyway.
Yeah, but
you gotta cross the highway to walk to the beach.
Right. But also just the time to also get to the grocery store and all that, you know, it would take you a ways away. But certainly there were bigger values on the other side of the highway. You can get significantly more for your money there. So if you had wheels and you didn't mind, or you had a motorcycle or a bicycle and you like riding your bike a lot, that's definitely a viable option. Here, riding a bicycle, a little rough because the cobble is everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't see very many bikes here, really. But I don't know if there's any neighborhoods or any place specifically to avoid.
No, it's more localized. Like, you don't want to be in the area that tends to have the rowdy 3 a.m. bar.
Right.
Or like a place that has, for whatever reason, open lots with dogs, mm-hmm. which happens. Like, you can see,
all the time.
You know, there's like five dogs in an open lot. And if you're in the apartment block, you know, on the third floor, you have a chorus of dogs all day and all night.
Yeah. Vallarta, also the airport, is fairly close to the downtown area. So I imagine there's cheaper but noisier places in that area as well.
Yeah, for sure. And inland from both the harbor as well as the airport, you know, 5 minutes in, the rents drop considerably.
Another topic where you compare it on these two cities, Kirsten, is a topic near and dear to my heart. It's one of the main reasons that I enjoy traveling, and that's sampling the food in different regions.
Yes.
So you tell us a little bit about the differences and similarities in the food between PV and PDC.
I think the biggest, most noticeable difference was the kind of the lack of taco stalls. I think we noticed, you know, in Puerto Vallarta, during the day and at night, anywhere you walk in any neighborhood, there's on every corner, there's a taco stand. Mm-hmm. You know, someone just opens up a stall right outside of their house, or they use use the kitchen in their house as the kitchen for their stall, and they cook all this food, and you sit it, and you've got four or five different places to sit, and that's it.
Yeah, like the sliding glass windows in the front of their house is the takeout window to the restaurant. You know what I mean? Like, they got the abuela is in the back cooking,
right.
and mama's selling, and the kids are cleaning up. You know, it is, and that's not the case, you know, in Playa.
No, we really had to seek out more of that. Mm-hmm. It's there, but you have to seek it out. It's not as like in your face as it was here.
And it seems like both places have a lot of high end restaurants, but Playa seemed to have a lot. It just seemed like a lot more, especially up and down Fifth. That whole.
I think also Playa has, you know, they're bigger. The spaces are bigger. Like, all even the big kind of fancier restaurants here, they're not nearly as like enormous.
Yeah.
And you know, they don't seat 500 people.
Right.
You know, they still seat only 30 people. You know, so there's still a small sense of you know, like you're eating in a small little boutique-y restaurant, versus in Playa del Carmen, it felt like there were big, huge chain restaurants, but also big, just big restaurants. Everything felt big and grand and not so quaint.
Yeah.
But delicious.
Yeah, I would imagine there's more of a Caribbean feel to Playa del Carmen.
I don't know if I noticed any more Caribbean, just because it's still got the whole Mexican seafood thing. So it's still amazing Mexican seafood. But I felt like there was more international food there.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. If you want Brazilian food, you can get Brazilian food there, right? I mean, it was like...
And like five different Brazilian restaurants or 10 different.
Right.
Like, there seemed to be... Here, there definitely is...
A Brazilian restaurant.
You know, European and international feel. But it felt like there was significantly more there.
Yeah.
And we had some amazing Asian food there.
Yeah, Japanese food, right.
Yeah, we had some, Japanese.
Which we've yet to do here.
Yeah, we had great ramen and we're blown away by it. So,
yeah, it's always fun to get out and explore, because even if it is an international food, sometimes there's a little local twist on it as well.
Right.
Yeah, for sure there was, but it was still fantastic. Yeah.
How about the weather in both beaches? Like right now, you're on the same seasons that we are in North America.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get into what would be the low season there, the hotter months, how hot does it get in the two places?
I think the biggest difference, I think, that we've noticed when we were there in May last year was the humidity. So it's not very humid here until August, September. And like it becomes a rainy season and then it gets mad rainy and, you know, very tropical heat. So hot and humid. And when we were in Playa del Carmen in May, it was really already hot and humid there. Yeah. So I feel like it's a little bit hotter on that side and definitely more humid throughout the year.
Yeah.
But through the winter, you're still in your basic upper 70s and 80s.
Yeah, well, here, yeah.
Yeah.
Like it, at, you know, this is a great time because at night it's cool. You don't even need air conditioning. And, you know, it gets down like, 60s,
yeah,
you know, 60. So it, and sometimes may even need a sweater. I mean, we're so far removed now from Chicago. We need a sweater in 60 degree weather. When we first moved to Malaysia, we would have walked out in the snow and with shorts and 40 degree weather. So, you know, it's all relative, but you know, mid 60s at night and, you know, high 70s during the day at this time of year. And, you know, it progresses, you know, in the summertime, it gets to be, you know, 90s plus.
Yeah.
And the humidity spikes up dramatically.
Yeah. One of the things I noticed looking at weather history for the areas was the Del Carmen over on the Caribbean side is prone to a little bit more of the larger storms like hurricanes.
Yeah.
It's only been, I think, just one hurricane near Vallarta in the last couple of decades.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because the Sierra Madre Mountains kind of blocks it off. And then we're told because the bay here, the Bay of Banderas, somehow there's something to do with the how the weather patterns come in. The mountains block like that, the ability for the hurricanes to go sweeping across. We did have a threat of a hurricane earlier this year. Actually, it was in, I think, December or November, and it really became a non-event. And there was a tidal surge and, you know, some minimal damage where sand kind of broke things up. But really,
that was just right on the boardwalk,
right,
so right on the Malecón. But I think the biggest what I've been told is that the reason why we don't have hurricanes is because we're in the bay, and both sides of the bay, one's longer than the other, so one side is like the land on both sides stops the hurricanes from actually being able to make it onto land here. Like it's actually quite hard for it to come into land into this little like C curve.
Yeah, it has to be almost a direct hit.
Yeah.
For you, obviously, in your battle of the beaches, Puerto Vallarta was your winner. Was there one particular thing that did it for you, or was it just kind of an overall feel for the community?
Well, we may differ on this. I personally really liked Playa and enjoyed it. I just felt like the overall package, Puerto Vallarta, you know, nudged it out for cost of living. And I am a real estate person, so I really enjoy what this area looks like. I love the blend of the old and the new. And there is some great developments. We stayed at one great development. Then there's several really nice places in Playa. But for me, it was, you know, I was 60% coming to PV and 40% to Playa.
How about you, Kirsten?
That was not that even. I definitely am 70-30 here. The only thing that makes me want to live in Playa del Carmen is the ocean. Not the only thing, but that's the biggest draw for me, mm-hmm, is the ocean. That's the biggest pull for me. The vibe and the electricity of Puerto Vallarta and the old world charm of it wins it over for me, hands down.
And I think it's important to also remember that there's a difference between a place where you want to vacation and a place where you want to live.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's that was the deciding thing.
How about the future for you two? What do you see in the immediate future, or pretty much set here now? Or do you think you might start to get the urge to roam again?
I always have the urge to roam. It's probably our, it drives Mark crazy. That's a great question. And we don't actually know the answer. If that can be our answer, that's the answer.
I don't know that I agree with that answer.
Oh. Told ya. Wait, what? Okay, Mark, you answer and then I'll answer.
So our plans are to still stay here, but with one foot on exploring later on this year, probably June, we'd like to explore some other places. Not that we don't want to be here during low season, but we both work remotely and we know that we could find suitable housing fairly reasonably during that time of the year.
Right.
So spend a month or two, you know, in Mazatlan or some other places.
Huatulco, Puerto Escondido.
Right.
I have a long list.
Kirsten's got a long list. So we have already been in the hunt for looking for an apartment here, a new apartment to sign a lease at, and also looking to explore in other places. Because why not? Because we can. And once you do it once or twice, it becomes easier. And, you know, we're adept at that now.
Yeah, that is the traveler's curse. Once you start seeing everything that's out there, you start to wonder what else you're missing.
Yeah, exactly.
We've been chatting with Mark and Kirsten Rakuya about Kirsten's article in the November 2022 issue of International Living magazine, Beach Town Battles, Puerto Vallarta versus Playa del Carmen, comparing and contrasting these two very different beach cities in Mexico. My guests today have made their choice, at least for now. But remember, choosing the right spot overseas is a very personal process. There is no right spot. There's only right for you. So, Mark, Kirsten, thanks for taking the time to talk with me today. And I look forward to reading more about your lives in Mexico or wherever your journeys take you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been lovely talking to you.
Bigger, Better World podcast is the production of International Living. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. If you have an idea for an episode or a question you'd like us to answer, email us at mailbag@internationalliving.com. And don't forget to put podcast in the subject line of your email. That's mailbag@internationalliving.com. We created Bigger, Better World to help showcase the ideas we explore at International Living each month and grow our community of travel lovers, expats, and experts who believe, as we do, that the world is full of opportunity to create a more interesting, more international life. You don't have to be rich or famous to do that, you just need to know the secrets, and that's what we bring you at International Living. If you haven't become a member yet, you can do it today with a special discount offer for podcast listeners. You'll receive our monthly magazine plus a bundle of special extras. You'll find the link in our show notes, or you can go to intliving.com/podcast. That's intliving.com/podcast. Be sure to tune in next week for another brand new episode. Thanks again for joining us on Bigger, Better World. I'm Jim Santos for International Living. I'll see you next time, and until then, remember, there's a bigger, better world just waiting for you.